Open your Bibles here this morning, the book of Proverbs. And Todd, my message here this morning is keep looking up. Keep looking up. Book of Proverbs here, chapter 16, verse 20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord," what's those next three words? "Happy is he." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word here this morning, Father, we do trust thee, Lord. We know that all things work together for good to those that are called according to your purpose. We know that we should cast all of our cares upon you, Lord, because you do care for us. Father, we know that that you want us to trust the Lord with all of our heart, that we wouldn't lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways we might acknowledge you, that you would direct our paths. And Father, as the saints of God, we know that through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God. So that until that day appears, God, that we enter your kingdom, Lord, help us keep looking up, keep trusting you, and keep leaning on you in these dark days, God. So, Lord, bless us as your people and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, our nation has been so polarized here of late with the elections, and it just seems like there's a lot of just turmoil in our nation. Is that true or not true? It is so true. There's a lot of turmoil we see everywhere. And for us that believe in righteousness, and what do I mean by that, believe in righteousness? Is there right and wrong in the world? Yes or no? Is there right and wrong? Yes, there is. Because there's a God in heaven that created the heaven and earth and seas. And he defines what's right and wrong. He gave us the Ten Commandments. And they're very basic in their wording, but they give us a sense of where we're to go, how we're to live as people, how we're to treat each other, how we're to treat God. One of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." You shouldn't lie. Now, for some people, a lie is a tool they have in their toolbox. They use it all the time. They have no conscience because they're not a righteous person. A righteous person knows it's wrong to lie. I don't lie because God said I shouldn't, and I want to be right with God, and I'm not going to lie. They have a sense of right and wrong about them. And I don't know about you, but as I look across the landscape of our nation, does it bother you that people aren't righteous? Does it bother you that people are calling evil good and good evil? Does that bother you? Does it create a sense in you of just, where are we going as a nation and a people? I am concerned for America. I am. Because not only for me, the changes I've seen in the years I've lived here in America, but I'm thinking about my children and my children's children. What kind of nation are they going to have? Has it changed quickly in the last 40 years? Has it changed for the good or for the worse? For the worse, I see. That concerns me. You know, reading the Bible is like sometimes picking up the newspaper. It's as relevant as the news that you see on the news broadcast. I'd like us to turn to a passage of Scripture here in the Old Testament, the book of Micah. Now, some of us probably haven't been in the book of Micah for a long time. Okay, if you know where the book of Jonah is, you're getting mighty close to it. If you hit the book of Nahum, you've gone too far back up. If you hit the book of Jonah, just go one book forward. Micah's sitting right there. Micah chapter 7. Now, Micah lived many years ago, and he lived in a nation that had turned away from God. Micah lived in a time where he was a righteous person. He was a prophet of God. And he knew what God wanted, how people should live. But when he looked about, I'm going to read what he saw and how he felt. Micah chapter 7, verse 1. "Woe is me." Stop right there. That's how he felt about the nation of Israel. We got an election here. Some say Biden's won. Some say Trump's won. Some people say they don't know who won. That's our nation. People that want Trump, Very fervent in spirit. People that want Biden, very fervent in spirit, very determined. What's right? How do you feel about our nation, where it's going? Elections have consequences. And as we look around our nation here, we see so many things that have changed. What once used to be evil is called good today, and it's promoted. And as Micah looked about his nation at the time he lived, he just said, woe is me. And I want to read this, and I want you to think about our nation and to think about Micah's words here. And listen as I read. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vineyard. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. What is he saying there, verse 1? Well, it's like he goes into a vineyard and it's already been cleaned through. And a gleaning, what that means is that was God's social welfare program in the days. When you harvest your grapes or you harvest your wheat or whatever you're harvesting, you didn't go back and get all the what you dropped behind, or you didn't pick everything through. Have you picked tomatoes and you think you got them all, and then you walk around and you see a few more you missed? You know what I'm talking about when you picked? That's what that's saying there. That what he was looking for, he was wanting all the blessings and good things, but what he saw was just a bunch of remnants left behind. He says, my soul desires the first ripe fruits. In other words, it had been gone through and there's nothing left to satisfy his hunger. Verse 2, the good man is perished out of the earth. That's what as he looked across the land of Israel, he said, the good man, where are the righteous people? Where are the people that call sin, sin, and goodness right? Where are the people that stand up and say, that's wrong, don't do that? Where are these good people that will call it what it is? He says, the good man is perished. They're not around anymore. There is none upright among men. Who will do what's right in God's sight? Who will do what the Bible says? Who will do what the commandments of God says? There's no upright people I see. And then he goes on in verse 2, they all lie in wait for blood. What's that mean? They're just killing each other endlessly. Bloodshed. They hunt every man, his brother, with a net. Evil people, killing and killing one another, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. You get the picture, like it's not like they just do evil with one hand. They got both hands into it. They're like really into this thing. They got both hands. There's no restraint, no holding them back. With both hands earnestly. And then he looked toward the government. The prince desires, the judge desires, asks for a reward, a bribe. Judge says, you want the case to go your way? Just slip me a little money on the table here. I'll get you the ruling you want. Corrupt court system. Judges, governors, leaders that are leading in the nation the wrong way. They take bribes. They do what they want to do. For the great man, those in our leaders, our military, whoever, the great man, he uttereth his mischief desires, and they wrap it up. In other words, this is what I want you to do. Right, we'll do this. No restraint for evil. The best of them, as he looked around, is a briar. Now, I can remember as a young man, I got tangled up in some briar bushes when I was a kid. You ever had these, what we used to call as a kid, hitchhikers? You know what they are? You walk into the woods and these things stick all over you, you know? I remember I went exploring in the woods one time, and I had a sweater on. I came home, and I was a little kid, and I had those hitchhikers, all of them. My mom made me pull every one of those out. I was like, man, those things are so hard to get. I can just remember I had hundreds of them in that sweater. She said, I'm not pulling them out. You're pulling them out. You got them. And I had to pull all those little hitchhikers out. You know, like briars, they just cut you, and they cause you pain and misery. And as Micah looked about, the best of them as briars, the most upright is sharper than a thorn's edge. They pierce you, they hurt you. The day of thy watchman and the visitation cometh. In other words, God's going to step in. Watchman, you watching the wall? Better watch out. The judgment's coming. Now shall be their perplexities. Now, when evil men do evil long enough, guess what happens? Everything starts what? Crumbling down. You know, in Venezuela, they wanted socialism. How'd it work out for their economy? How about 1,000% inflation rate? How about that for inflation? In other words, what you could buy for a dollar, you needed $1,000 now. Perplexity. They don't know what to do now. See, why is righteousness important? Righteousness exalts a nation. And the minute you stop being a righteous nation, guess what? It goes downhill from there. It goes downhill. And that's what Micah was seeing here. It's going downhill. It's going down fast. Now shall be their perplexity. They don't know what to do. Because when you reject the knowledge of God, you suppress the knowledge of God. It's like Tony Evans said, when you kick God out, guess who you invite in? Who do you invite in? The devil. That's what happens. You kick God out, you invite the devil in. And guess what? The devil's not your friend. I don't care what he says. He comes to kill and to maim and what? Destroy. That's the devil's program. How many of our young people across America have committed suicide? No hope. That's the devil's work. To tell a young person, there's no hope in your life. That's the devil's lie. And you take God out of young people's lives, don't give them any hope, don't give them any future. Perplexities. How bad does it get? Look at verse 5 from Micah. Trust ye not in a friend. Hey, you better be careful. You don't know who your friends are. Put you not your confidence in a guide. If people are saying, follow me, you better be careful. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. You know how bad it gets? You can't even trust your wife or your husband. Because some people are so deceived, they're so deceived in thinking what they're doing is good. They deceive others and they deceive themselves. That's the worst. It's bad to deceive others, but when you're self-deceived, that's the worst deception. That's how bad it can get. Verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are of his own household, a nation divided against itself. Is that America? Are we a nation divided? It's right there. And how did we get there? Because men reject the knowledge of God. Verse 7. Now see, if we just stopped into verse 6, that'd be kind of a downer. Whew! Down. What's verse 7? You know what Micah said? As he, all this he went through, this all this churning inside of him, everything. He said, verse 7, therefore I will look unto what? The Lord. See, that's where you got to end up. You got to look up. Because if you just look about, you're going to have despair. But if you look up, there's going to be hope. Because God still reigns. You can't vote God off the throne. You know what I'm saying? He's still on the throne. He's still ruling, reigns over the affairs of men. God has the last say. Somebody once said it like this. One with God is the majority. Noah stood with God and the whole world perished, but him and his family were saved. I'd rather be one with God and everybody else is going the wrong way. As long as I know what I'm doing is right in God's sight, that's where I want to be. The culture can go this way. The world can go this way. But as for me and my house, we're going to what? Serve the Lord. That's where we need to be as God's people. And Micah said, as he looked about, he could be really discouraged. I mean, what we don't want to do is verses 1 through 6. That's where we camp on. That's where we live at. That's what we don't want to do that. It's bad. I got it. It's concerning. We understand. But verse 7, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. That's where we want to be. That's why we need to look up. That's why in Proverbs, it says here in verse 16, verse 20, He that handles the matter wisely shall find good. If a nation handles things right, they'll find good. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to look unto God. And on the inside, I can have a peace that passes all understanding, because God can keep my heart and mind on him. And not on this world, not on this trouble, but I can stay rooted and founded on him, because he's still on the throne and my God rules. Whosoever handleth a matter wisely findeth good. Does righteousness make a difference? It sure does. Yesterday, I just found out something I thought was kind of interesting. You heard of Wolf Furniture? You know, you heard them? Do you know they're going out of business? You ever seen their signs around 50% off, 75% off? Do you know why they're going out of business? It wasn't because of COVID-19. It wasn't because of the economy. It wasn't because their sales were down. They're going out of business because they had a contract with a manufacturer for their furniture that they bought from them. This manufacturer had a lifetime guarantee on their furniture. And if you had any problems with them, they'd send out the manufacturer representative, fix your furniture. That was their policy. That's how they did for many years. The company, I think, started in 1902 was when Wolf Furniture started. They went out of business because they had a $30 million lawsuit against them because the manufacturer of the furniture was having problems with some of the furniture that was being needed to work under warranty. And they found out that Wolf Furniture was buying furniture from another manufacturer, putting this other manufacturer's name on their furniture and claiming the warranty. And the warranty people were going out saying, "This isn't our furniture. Something's wrong here." And it blew all apart, and Wolf Furniture had $30 million lawsuit, and they have to pay it off. They're closing their doors, selling all their inventory. Why? Because of unrighteousness. See, that's unrighteousness. It's wrong to deceive people and to lie. Now, whoso handleth a matter wisely, if you do the right thing in the right way, with the right attitude, honoring God, honoring your fellow man, you're going to reap the goodness of that. But if you lie and deceive, guess what? Your sin will what? Find you out. Your sin's going to catch up with you sooner or later. Don't think you can sin and get away with it. If they don't catch you here in eternity, it's going to be caught in this side of eternity. You'll get caught in eternity. I just read about an article about this guy. You know, you ever heard of DNA testing? You know what DNA testing is? All they need is just get a little piece of your body and they got DNA testing. Well, this girl was killed, 40-some years ago. And they finally found the guy through DNA testing. He's 76 years old. And they caught him through DNA testing. And this case is going to court. But according to DNA evidence, they caught the murder of this young girl 40 years later. Behold, your sin will what? Find you out. Don't think you're ever going to get away with it. Never, ever. See, for a Christian, my sins are forgiven. My past, my present, my future sins are all forgiven by Jesus Christ who died in my place. And that's my hope. And that's what I'm looking forward to. That's why I'm looking up. Because on judgment day, my sins are taken care of. When I stand before God, he's going to judge me for my rewards. God's going to honor me for the way I've loved him and served him. I don't have to worry about death and the lake of fire. That's been settled at the cross. And I have that hope. So what does Micah say? What does he say here? It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Verse 7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. My God will hear me. We ought to be looking up. We got to be looking up. Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says these words. Now, a passage before this deals with the end times. Just to kind of set the context here. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nation, perplexity. This is Luke chapter 21, verse 24 and following. And men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things, what's that next word? When these things what?
Begin.
Okay. There has never been a people that have been extinct for thousands of years ever came back to be a nation. Only one people group has done that. Who is that? Israel, Jews. Where are the Hittites? Are they coming back? They're not coming back. Where are the Edomites? Are they coming? They're not coming back. But God says, Israel, my people, will be a nation again. When did that happen? 1948. The Bible said it was going to happen again. Do you see, these events are unfolding. I've said this almost every Sunday, but it is so like right here. You know, Amazon has got these hand scanners now that you can walk into their store. When you pick stuff off of the shelf, they are scanning where you are in the store. They know what you pick up. You just put it in your basket and you scan on your way out. They know what you bought. Your hand is linked to your credit card. You scan in, you get your stuff, put in your basket, you scan out and you leave and you get a bill for it. The mark of the beast, unless you have the mark of the beast in your hand or your forehead, you can't buy or sell. Now, 100 years ago, you'd say, how can that be done? It is just this far away from happening all over the world. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Because God says, I'm coming back again. The rapture is coming back. His people are going up before the tribulation comes. We're out of here. And I believe that's one of the signs Satan's going to say is, I got rid of all those troublemaker Christians. I mean, I feel like he's going to use the rapture as a way to promote himself. It doesn't say in Scripture, but somehow when all we leave is God's people and caught up, see, what you don't want to do is be left behind, because woe be to you if you're left behind. God says it's going to happen. And we see Israel coming back. We see the mark of the beast. It's just a hand's breadth away. And when you begin to see all these things, verse 28, when you begin to see these things come to pass, okay, I'm seeing them. What are those next three words? Then what? Look up. Look up. Your redemption is coming nigh. Lift up your heads. Your redemption is coming nigh. Your salvation. God's coming back again. And all this unrighteousness that Micah said, and all this that he felt, he looked around, all these unrighteous people doing this all unrighteous, God and godly things that vexed his spirit. He said, I'm looking up. And that's what we need to do as God's people, is to look up. Because I guarantee you, if you read the news long enough, you're going to be one depressed, discouraged believer. And you can't be focused on that. I was trying to think of a way to explain it, and this is probably not a good illustration. But I have been traveling sometimes in my car, and you ever had a big bug just hit you right on the windshield, splat, okay? And then you cut on your wipers, and all it does is just smear it all over the place. Okay? Now, if I'm driving the car and I focus on that bug on the windshield, it's not going to be real good because I'm not looking at the car coming down the road. I'm not watching the curve. I need to look through and beyond that and see what's coming down the road. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes believers, we're focused on that bug right on the windshield. Okay, that's splat. It's bad. You can hardly see and you're dealing with it. But you need to look beyond that and look to God and look up because your redemption draws nigh. And I'm not going to focus on all the bad things that are going on because I have a great God that died on the cross for me, that loves me with an everlasting love, that's coming again for me, that all people, that brethren that love him are going to be one day in his presence singing hallelujah to the Lamb and worshiping him. And I'm going to be in that great choir and you're going to be in that great choir if you have Christ as your Savior. You're going to be there. That's where I'm looking up to. And we have to do that. Because Satan, you know what he wants to do? He wants to get you discouraged. And he wants to get your spirit down. And he wants to get to where you're just like, woe is me. That's what Micah said when he started out, woe is me. But then he got down to verse 7, and he says, I'm looking up. I'm looking up. And that's what we need to do as God's people. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack. In other words, what God says, he's going to do. He's not going to say he's going to do it and not do it. But it's patient, long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When is Jesus Christ coming back? Tell me. Do you know? If you knew, God would change it, because he tells me, nobody's going to know. If you guessed it right, he'll change it, so you'll be wrong. He comes as a thief in the night. When's a thief going to break into your house? When you're not expecting it. So what does that say for us? We need to be ready. How do I get ready? Well, I make sure I'm saved. And not only am I saved, but you know what? I want my children to be saved and living for God. I want my grandchildren to be saved, living for God, because they're going to face an eternity one day. You know, this COVID has woken up a lot of people. I can see the fear in their eyes. You talk to some people, they got fear in their eyes. They're scared of dying. They're scared to be around people. I am cautious in this environment, but I'm not fearful. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm cautious. I'm wise, but I'm not fearful. Why am I not fearful? Because I know I'm saved. And if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Because we have a know-so salvation. The Bible says you can know that you're saved. Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. We can have that assurance. If you don't have that assurance, I encourage you, get it settled today. Find somebody you can talk. Get it settled. Because you want to be ready. Because he comes as a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming back. Verse 12 says, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Wherein the heavens and being on fire shall be dissolved with the elements, melt with fire, and the end of the world's coming. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, we're looking up. We're looking up. I close with Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now set down at the right hand of God on the throne. He went to the cross, victorious over the grave. Why am I looking up? Because he rose again from the dead, and he lives forevermore. And if I believe in him, I can live forevermore with him. Looking unto Jesus. I'm not looking at the world. I'm looking unto him. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who's victorious over death and the grave. And because he lives, we shall live also. And that's our hope. Lord, he walked this earth, the Son of God, and lived a perfect life that none of us could live. He was the Son of God without sin. And Lord, I thank you that he was victorious. And when he rose from the grave, that was your stamp of approval that he will judge the world in righteousness, the coming judge. He'll separate the sheep from the goats, the believers from the unbelievers. Father, help us as that day is approaching that we will look up, for our redemption draws nigh. God, our hope is not in ourselves. It's not in our government. It's in our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And Lord, I thank you that you've gone to prepare a place for each of us that believe on you, that repented of our sins, that believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who've looked to him and asked him to be their Savior. Father, we can look up at this time and help us toward that end that, Lord, Satan, he's a liar and the father of lies. And Father, may we as believers cling to the truth. And Lord, the just shall live by faith. And Lord, give us the faith and the trust we need to see us through these troubled times. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.